Thank you for joining us and welcome here, wherever you may be joining us, all over Lower Mainland. And I noticed in the last couple weeks, as I look at the phone, there are other people that's joining us. So especially if you're joining us outside of BC, special welcome to you. And again, thank you for joining us. I wanted to say quickly, thank you to Ted on sound. Thank you to Brian on PowerPoint and Glenn as well with sound and PowerPoint in both. And of course, Kristen leading us into worship this morning. And of course, I also have to recognize my son, Jumaya. I left home and came home to church thinking that I brought my sermon. I did bring my sermon, but I only brought half of my sermon and a rough copy of that as well. So I had to quickly call my son to send it out to email. So thank you to my son. But of course, he did send it out to somebody else before he sent it to me. So I think it was Sarom that he sent it out to. So just ignore it. Or you could just follow along because you'll have it right in front of you. Today is Palm Sunday, and as we celebrate the significant occasion, we want to reflect back on the very time that Jesus walked through Jerusalem, and the week that is referred to as the Holy Week, Passover Week, Passion Week. But I just want to mention, before the text that we look at in the Luke of 19, the passage before this is the story on the account of Luke, is the parable that Jesus taught, referred to as the parable of 10 minas. And basically that 10 minas is talking about investing your time, treasure, and talent for the kingdom of God. And I'll get to that later on in the service, in the message here this morning. Let's read our text here this morning. Of course, I will read it. But pay close attention, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for this is the Word of God. Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 38. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the palace where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" Now, normally, if anyone is talking about Palm Sunday and using this passage, whether it's in Luke or Matthew and Mark or in John, they will look at the whole portion of this particular passage. But today, I'm just going to stop here because we want to zero in on Jesus on this particular or peculiar behavior, his action of riding the donkey. Because of what Jesus went through over 2,000 years ago, is something that we could relate to as we go through this COVID-19. And we want to draw out what God is teaching us and what he's calling us to do during this time. So, the Holy Week is the last week of Jesus' life here on earth. And on Thursday of this week, Jesus will share his last meal. And before that, he washes the feet of the disciples and he shares his last meal with them. And this last meal is the Passover meal. And of course, the Passover meal is the holiday, is the holiest holiday that remembers the night when the angel of death passes over the homes of which had sacrificed the lamb as instructed by God. In the last plague on Egypt before the nation of Israel was to let go. So in the text, as we just read, we see Jerusalem going into the Jerusalem. And as the temple was in his sight, Jesus knows it is now time to begin the processional. In Scripture, we see Jesus being called many names. The name that I want to focus on here this morning is bridegroom, bridegroom. Again, through Scriptures, we see Jesus being referred to many names. And in many Scripture references, there is Jesus being referred as the bridegroom, and of course, we as the church being the bride. And tons of references regarding this, including Ephesians 5:25, where it describes Christ, the fact that Christ gave himself to cleanse and to sanctify the church. So, as Jesus is on his way of giving himself to sanctify and to cleanse us, he is riding on a donkey. And this occurrence of Jesus riding on any animal is the only occurrence in the Bible. So you might think he's riding an animal, he might ride something a little bit different, but that's not his style. If any other groom were to ride something, he could have picked something more stylish, a little bit more fancy, a little bit more extravagant. But that's not who Jesus is. By riding on a donkey, it reveals his humility, because this is an exceedingly humble way to travel. And this is significant because Jesus here is making a very blatant statement, a very blatant, significant public statement with his action. And his action was deliberate, claimed to be the Messiah. Once again, his action was a deliberate claim to be the Messiah, basically saying, "I am the Lord." We know this because by riding on a donkey, Jesus intentionally fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, where the word of God says this: "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So, ladies and gentlemen, there is no doubt that Jesus is claiming to be the promised Messiah, because the time has now come. And what is interesting is in that when you think of a donkey, we think of an inferior breed to the horses. But to the culture of that day, there was significance in choosing a donkey over a horse. Riding on a horse showed one's military power, so that when a king comes to fight, he would ride a horse. But when the king comes in peace, he rode a donkey. Riding on a donkey emphasized his concern for peace. The horse meant war, donkey meant peace. This action of Jesus was a sure sign that he was coming as the Prince of Peace. And the reason why I say this, and as we look deeper into this, to explore this a little bit, and as William Barclay shares in his commentary, it describes a claim to be a particular kind of Messiah. With a donkey is a lowly animal, but in the Old Testament, donkeys were considered a noble animal. In 2 Samuel chapter 19:26, Mephibosheth, the royal prince, came to David riding up on a donkey. Donkey, once again, were considered a noble animals, and they were considered to be symbol of royal prince. So, to summarize, what is the significance of Jesus entering to Jerusalem, his triumphal entry? Because it shows who he is, that he is the Messiah. He is the King of Kings, he is the humble king, and he is the Prince of Peace. So if we were to look at this event from Jesus' perspective, prior to the triumphal entry, what was Jesus doing for the last 3 years of his life? He's been ministering over 35 remote and rural areas, walking around, going and meeting people, to visiting people. He's teaching them, he's preaching, he's healing the sick, he's raising the dead, he's performing all kinds of miracles. He's driving out demons. And he is doing what he came to do. And he's been doing that for the last 3 years. But as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, he knows full well that he's coming to the cross. He could clearly see the great agony that he would have to endure and go through. But of course, he does it willingly because of the love of his Father and, of course, love for you and me. So his life, his way of life, as he knows it, comes to a stop. Isn't that kind of funny? In order for something new to begin, something has to stop. In order for something good to happen, something has to stop. And for Jesus, his way of life comes to a stop at that point. And in a way, and of course for different reasons, we're in a similar situation as our lives has come to stop due to COVID-19 or C-19. And this stoppage in our lives is affecting everybody. However, as we experience this new reality of our lives, we're experiencing different things. But it's safe to say what we're all experiencing is certainly not pleasant. So in this time of crisis, in this time of anxiety, fear, despair, depression, and you could pick any negative words you want, what are we to do? There are two applications that I want to draw out from today's message. And both of these applications start with the letter E, so it is easy for us to remember. The first application that I want to share with you and what we can do and what God is calling us to do during this time is to, number one, to engage in worship with an exclamation point. Once again, engage in worship. As Jesus was riding the donkey, what were people doing? More specifically, what were the crowd of the disciples doing? And when we look at this incident from the perspective of the crowd of the disciples that were there, they knew the prophecies about the Messiah, about the coming Messiah. Of course, they didn't know when he was coming, but they knew he was coming in a certain manner. And so when they see Jesus riding the donkey, jubilation and celebration like never before. Imagine this way. If God comes to a woman and says, "Woman, you're going to get married. And not only are you going to get married, but the groom-to-be is the most perfect person. He's going to love you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to serve you. He's going to do everything in his power so that you're not harmed ever. And he's going to come in this and this manner." So the woman is excited. And woman is waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And waiting. Is he coming? When is he coming? She's about to lose hope. And then, there he comes. Exactly the manner that God had told him that he would. So for this crowd of Jesus, for the crowd of disciples, as they see Jesus entering in Jerusalem, riding a donkey, it's like, whoa, this is the day! This is the day! Jesus is riding on the donkey. He's the coming Messiah, the promised Messiah. The day is finally here. And of course, jubilation once again and excitement breaks out. And they celebrate. They celebrate. And they're worshiping and they're rejoicing loudly in celebration. And in this verse, verse 38 that we read earlier, is a quote from Psalm 18, verse 26, minus the word king. And it was fitting for this occasion, because let me explain a little bit. Is that particular psalm would be sung when a king would go out to a battle against their enemies because their life is in danger. If the king was victorious and defeats the enemy, he would ride back and the people would meet him along the way, and they would get the report on the war, and they would sing and celebrate and be glad, and they would follow the king all the way up to Jerusalem. And then the priest would give the Psalm 118, verse 26, and he would say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." So this declaration is made by the priest, the spiritual leader, in the presence of the political leader, the king. Which means to say that God has anointed you, God has appointed you, God has delivered us, God has saved us. And it would be a national day of feasting and rejoicing and celebrating, as big as it could possibly be. And when they see the crowd of the disciples, that is, see Jesus coming, they see, they add the word king, because he is the King of Kings, as we sang here this morning. Of course, they did not know that, Jesus did not come as a militant king, but as they thought, but he came to conquer Satan, sin, death, and hell, that he may offer eternal salvation. So I say, engage in worship. We do not have to wait for the Messiah, because he has already accomplished what he came here to do. He accomplished his work, and that is celebration that we could do every day, even during this time of pandemic. Thus, I say, engage in worship. Due to what is going on around us, we are adjusting the way we worship, including what we're doing here this morning. And of course, we had a little bit of an extracurricular thing that we did in the beginning to help us to engage in an act of worship. Even though we're not here together, we have the tradition of waving our palm fronds. And I want to take this moment to thank Pat to organize this and to send it out to different people so we're able to engage that here this morning. Yes, it's not actually gathering here at church like we normally do. But folks, even with what's going on, we still have the ability to worship God. So, I say, keep singing praises unto God. Keep praying. Keep reading his word. And of course, even fast during this time as well for this particular week. So worship for what he has done. For worship for what he's doing now, and worship for what he will do. God will be much delighted in your worship here. And I often say this, that any time is a good time to worship God, but especially now. And the word worship must be one of God's favorite words in the New Testament, because he used it 60 times in the New Testament. The Greek word is the word proskuneo, which is a primary Greek word, for worship. And the definition, as you see it on the screen, or as you see it, the definition is to do reverence or homage by kissing the hand, show reverence by prostration, or to kneel down before someone superior. And so that's why the English translations use the word worship. Worshiping God externally is important, but worshiping God internally is what God is desiring. As John chapter 4 talks about, to worship God in spirit and and in truth. So how should you worship? Very quickly, worship with all that you have and all that you are. Before Jesus was able to ride the donkey, I didn't mention this, I was saving it until now. Before Jesus was riding on a donkey, he needs something to sit on. He needs a saddle. Was there a saddle? There was no saddle. Could they get a saddle? No. So what did the people do? What did the crowd of disciples do? They took off their cloak and threw it on the donkey. Not only that, they took off their cloak and laid it on the road so that Jesus could go into Jerusalem. But the cloak, ladies and gentlemen, that one they have, chances are these people are not rich. It's not like they had an extra cloak that they could use, or they have an extra cloak at home. This is one and only. And they willingly gave that up for the Messiah. As I mentioned before, this particular passage in the account of Luke, Jesus shared the parable about the 10 parables. Again, the message is about investing your time, talent, and your treasure. Simply, how should you and I worship during this time? Is to worship God with our time, treasure, and our talent. Second thing that what God is calling us to do during this tough time that we're in is to exercise your faith. Once again, second point is to exercise your faith. And I want to share three ways in how we can exercise your faith. So first point, and the second point of the application is exercise your faith by showing your confidence in who he is. Exercise your faith by showing your confidence in who God is. Due to the pandemic, there are many of us that are not working. There are many of us that have lost jobs or about to lose their jobs. If you're fortunate enough to be working right now, you're also stressed because you're overworked. You may be sick physically. You have your pre-existing condition. Whether it's the head, your body, the back. And of course, you may be even dealing with the sickness that's going on right now. Or you have family members that are dealing with this COVID-19. Just earlier this week, I found that my uncle in New York tested positive for C-19 as well. Well, I don't need to go on because you know what's going on. You guys all watch the news. You know exactly what's going on. As we live this time through uncertainty, this unprecedented time, going through this uncharted territories. But you know what, folks? I believe that this is the best time to exercise your faith. Why? Because your faith grows in unfamiliar places. Once again, your faith grows in unfamiliar places. When you don't know where to go or how and when, and you have no idea what's going on, that's when you will see who God is. As I share this, some of you might be saying, well, that's all handy dandy. It all sounds nice. But what about my job? What about my family? What about my business? What about my physical condition, emotional, mental condition that I'm in? You don't know my situation. You're not in my boat. Even though we're going through this major storm that we have never seen and never faced before, we're in this together. But yes, we are experiencing different things. And yes, I am not in your boat. And as we're facing this enormous storm together, I know that Jesus is in that boat with you. Jesus is in the boat with you, just as he was in the boat with the disciples, as recorded in Mark and Matthew and Luke. When the disciples were in the storm, we know this story so well, but if I may just touch upon this real quickly. When the disciples were in the storm, perhaps we are feeling a similar thing as the disciples at that moment. Disciples, they're saying, "Don't you care? Aren't you the loving son of the Father?" And what is Jesus doing, by the way, at this time? The most unthinkable thing, most unthinkable has happened, is happening, because Jesus is there, back of the boat in a stern. He is sleeping. The 12, ladies and gentlemen, faced lots of storms in their lives, literally. Because remember, they're fishermen. Most of these guys were fishermen. So they've seen storms before, but this squall, as it records in the book of Mark, they have never encountered before. So what are they facing? What are they going through? They're panicking, they're trembling, they have fear, and they don't know what's going on. They have no idea what's going to happen because their life is in danger. They can see it right in front of them. But remember what happens. Jesus wakes up and he rebukes the storm. And the element immediately stops and it obeys God. Whenever we find ourselves in a storm, when God says stop, it will stop. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's why I say, exercise your faith in God and have confidence, because he has the power to stop and he is in control. So instead of living during this time, living a life of fear, anxiety, stand on the firm foundation of Jesus. Because even though we look around, everything is on pause, or everything is closed, or everything is canceled. Even the parks and the beaches and everywhere you go, everything is shut down. But there is one person, there is one God that will never close, that will never goes on pause, that will never cancel on us, that will always be open, and that is God. When the world shuts down, God does not. So during this time, going through potentially the biggest storm of our lives, exercise your faith in God by trusting in him. Have confidence that he has the power to overcome, C19, and he will get through, he will get us through and guide you through this time. For this is a time, ladies and gentlemen, is to stop living by our feelings, but to live by faith. And that's why I say to exercise our faith by showing confidence in who he is. This is a time to stop living by feelings, but to live by faith. Speaking of faith, let me just share you a quick quote from Oswald Chambers. It's a classic I'm sure many of you guys know. It's personally my favorite devotional book that I use every periodically. And in describing faith, Oswald Chambers says this: faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. Faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. Second part of the second application: exercise your faith by sharing your faith. Once again, the second point of second application is exercise your faith by sharing your faith. And with this, I'm just going to quickly read an email that I received just this past week. A letter from Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And I'll just read this out to you to point out what what I'm referring to when I say to share your faith. As the coronavirus turns life upside down, the number of people going online desperately looking for hope is only increasing. And many are making decisions for Christ through the Search for Jesus internet outreach, including people like Carrie. She recently connected with Search for Jesus, and she was talking with one of the volunteers, and she said, "With all this coronavirus thing going around, it's so scary to me. I'm not a religious person, but I don't know who else to turn but to God." The volunteer and Carrie talked about her desire for peace in her life and how she can find true peace through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Carrie asked the volunteer how she could have that kind of relationship. The volunteer led her through a prayer of accepting Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. Now Carrie is beginning to read the Bible and discover what it means to be the child of God. This is a good time to share your faith because everyone is scared. Can't imagine not having the assurance of the hope that we have and all these non-Christian people that you know are filled with extreme fear. But knowing what we know of who God is, and if we were to share the fact that we don't have the spirit of fear, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of spirit of power and love and self-control. This is a great time to share our faith with others. We don't know how to stop this virus. None of us have any idea how to do so or when this is going to stop. But we can spread the blessing. So I want to encourage you, I want to implore you here this morning to share your faith, to exercise your faith by sharing your faith unto others. Just like the Red Cross advertisement, you know, they encourage you to share your blood because they need whatever type of blood. And they always say, it's in you to give, just like it is in us to certainly bless those around us. And the third one here this morning, to exercise your faith by, once again, exercise your faith by sharing your, by having confidence in who God is. Well, number one. Number two, exercise your faith by sharing your faith. And number three, simply exercise your faith by helping others. And I know you guys are doing that already, but I want to encourage you here this morning to continue to do that. And I want to share a very brief story. Again, just past week, I was talking to, I won't mention the names because I didn't talk to them if I could use their names, but I was talking to one of the ladies and just saying hi and how she's going, and she's obviously struggling physically especially. And before the end of the conversation, I asked her, is there anything that I could possibly do for you? And I prayed with her, and then I asked, is there anything that practically I could get for you? And this lady said, you know what? I do need this one grocery item. Oh, really? Sure, I could get that for you. That's not a problem. Is there anything else I could get for you? Because no, I have lots of stuff because, family has brought it in. I don't need anything else, but I just need this one small grocery item. Well, okay. I hung up the phone. I told her, you know, get it. We'll get it for you. And then I hung up the phone. And the first thing that came to mind was, well, call all these delivery services, whether it's Walmart or Save-On. So I called Save-On, the nearest one near her home. And I called and asked, hey, you guys do delivery. I've never done this before. How does it work? She explains it to me. I said, well, I just wanted to order this. Can you do that? And she tells me, well, you need to purchase over $40. Oh, because what I needed was just one little item. It's certainly not $40. And I said, well, okay, well, thank you. And I hung up. And then I remembered, wait a minute, we have these people that have signed up to offer help with grocery helps and with this and this and that. And so I called one of those people, and this person picked up the phone, and she was busy keeping herself busy because that's what she was doing. And I told her about it, and she gladly accepted and provided this small need for this other lady in our church. It was a little gesture, but to me, it was very heartwarming. So I want to thank you for doing that. And I trust that many of us are doing that already. But I want to encourage you, during this time, this is the time how we can best exemplify how God loves us and how much He loves by sharing our faith and our love with others by helping other people. During this week, as we ponder and meditate on the week of Jesus that He is about to endure, as Jesus is about to enter the biggest pain and agony known to mankind, but the result is glory unto God. As we perhaps go through our biggest pain and agony of our lives in this particular time, a time of despair and, again, a whole bunch of negative words that we could think about that we may feel, and even despite all this, when we live our lives to engage in worship and to exercise our faith by showing confidence in God and who He is, and by sharing our faith and to help those around, we will bring glory unto God. So I want to encourage all of us to do that as we meditate on this particular week. Let's pray together.